Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Qin Wumeng from Michigan State University. I'm a third-year PhD student currently, and today I would like to talk to you about how we can add far-red to different intensities of red and blue light to promote lighter seedling growth in vertical farming systems. Nowadays, in most vertical farms, the most prevalent wave band from LEDs would be red and blue light because of their high photosynthetic and electrical efficiencies. And sometimes you see a little bit of white light there as well, so it's easier to see the plants. And when we look at the dynamics of red and blue light and how they influence plant growth, in this particular case, green leaf lettuce, we see that as we increase the proportion of blue light to red light, we have a reduction in leaf size or leaf area, and consequently a reduction in the total yield or biomass accumulation. But plant growth is more than just red and blue light. Some other wavelengths are also pretty important in a lot of plant processes, including photomorphogenesis. Take far red radiation as an example, which is from 700 to 800 nanometers. We did an experiment before trying to see whether it was worth adding far red into the existing red and blue lighting system to promote leaf area and thus to promote growth. We found that with additional 30 micromoles per square meter per second of far red light added to red and blue light at two different ratios, we were able to promote leaf expansion and biomass accumulation. So in order to promote plant growth, far red can act in two main modes. The first one is to directly promote net photosynthesis, which has been proven by some researchers. The other way is for far red to induce leaf expansion, so the plant is able to capture more light for photochemistry. And these two modes run in parallel to each other, and they're both very important. Another thing is, if we look at the light response curve of lettuce, we see that as we increase light intensity, or PPFD, in this case from red and blue light, there's an increase in net photosynthesis, while there might be a compromise in the quantum efficiency of photosystems. So what if we combine the power of far-right radiation and high photosynthetic photon flux density, or PPFD, in order to maximize plant growth or yield? In this experiment, we set out to investigate how far-right radiation would interact with PPFD in lettuce seedling growth. We postulated that far-right radiation and high PPFD would result in greater growth, and that far-right and low PPFD would attribute to similar morphological traits. In this experiment, we delivered blue and red light at 90 micromoles each, or 100 micromoles each. Within each PPFD category, we delivered far-red light at different intensities, at 0, 30, or 75 micromoles. We saw seeds of green leaf lettuce rex and red leaf lettuce roxi in a peat-based medium in a walk-in growth chamber at a temperature set point of 20 degrees C and a photo period of 24 hours throughout the entire experiment. The PPFD from cool white fluorescent lamps during the first 3 days was kept at 100 micromoles for the first day and 180 micromoles for the following 2 days. After germination, we transferred all the plants from cool white fluorescent lamps to six different LED treatments that I previously mentioned. The photo period here still was 24 hours, and the temperature was increased to 22 degrees C. We collected data to quantify plant morphology, biomass accumulation, and pigmentation 5 or 7 days after for these two cultivars, respectively, and we analyzed data in the software SAS. And then we collected another round of data 5 or 7 days after that to see if there were any differences throughout the whole seedling developmental stage. So now let's look at the results. First, when we talk about leaf morphology, the data presented here is leaf length for green leaf lettuce, rex. We see that within each PPFD category, increasing far-right light intensity increased leaf length, and this is independent of PPFD from blue and red light. Another thing is low light also induced greater leaf expansion compared with high light. So in this case, far-red radiation and low PPFD share similar properties when it comes to their effects on leaf morphology. And we observed similar trends for relief lattice rock side, and the trends continued the same 5 or 7 days afterwards. So why is that? Well, we know that phytochromes are very important in mediating shade avoidance responses, and they mainly exist in two forms, the inactive PR form or the active PFR form, and they can convert back and forth depending on the lighting situations. The active PR form acts to suppress the function of PIFs, phytochrome interacting factors, which act to promote elongation growth. If we shine far red light or grow plants in low light conditions, we will have less PFR and thus less suppression of PIFs, and this is how we can explain the elongation on the far red and low light. Now let's look at biomass accumulation. This is shoot fresh weight for green leaf lattice rex. We observed an interaction between far red radiation and PPFD. In this case, in low light conditions, increasing the amount of far red radiation increased shoot fresh weight, but this response did not occur in high light situations. And the trend was the same for red leaf lattice roxy. What about a week later? Well, for green leaf lattice rex, the trend was the same. Increasing far red light intensity increased shoot fresh weight in low light, but not in high light. However, for the other cultivar, roxy, we observed different responses. Here, increasing far red light intensity increased shoot fresh weight in both low and high light conditions. And the greatest shoot fresh weight accumulated under high intensity far red radiation, regardless of the PPFD. So now we just talked about fresh weight. What about dry weight? Well, the trend here is a little different. We see that the greatest dry weight for green leaf lattice rex was under a combination of high intensity far red radiation and high PPFD. So why is this different from what we observed for fresh weight? Well, we observed differences in the moisture content under low and high light. Generally speaking, for green leaf lattice, moisture content was slightly higher in low light compared with high light. And the trend was the same for red leaf lattice. A week later, though, the response was a little different later in the seedling stage. Far radiation increased shoot dry weight accumulation in low light, but not in high light. However, for red leaf lattice roxy, the trend was different. Increasing far red light intensity increased shoot dry weight in both low and high light conditions. So here we observed specific responses from these two different cultivars. And also there was an interaction between far red radiation and PPFD for green leaf lattice. Let's move on to talk about pigmentation. The data presented here is SPAT value indicating the chlorophyll concentration in leaves. We're looking at the data for green leaf lattice rex. We see that as we increase the intensity of far red radiation, there's a reduction in chlorophyll concentration in both PPFD categories. Low light also resulted in a lower chlorophyll concentration compared with high light. We observed similar responses for red leaf lattice roxy. But this might be just attributed to the dilution effect due to the enlarged leaves under low light or far red enrichment instead of the reduction in the total chlorophyll content in leaves. Lastly, I want to talk about the red pigmentation in red leaf lattice. We did an LAB color space analysis to quantify the red coloration. The data presented here is A prime, indicating how green or red the leaf appears to us. The greater A prime is, the redder the leaf is. In this case, the major take-home message is that highlight resulted in greater red coloration or indirectly anthocyanin production in red leaf lattice compared with low light. The effects of far red on red pigmentation are dependent on the PPFD, and they're not consistent in these two PPFD categories. In summary, in order to maximize growth, we can elevate PPFD delivered from red and blue light to directly promote or increase net photosynthesis. But when light is in excess, the light energy should be dissipated properly. And in accompanying to that, we can activate a lot of secondary metabolic pathways and produce very important secondary metabolites. Another way to promote growth of lettuce is to use far red and induce leaf expansion, so the plant would be able to capture more light for photosynthesis or photochemistry. But one of the trade-offs is that far red can reduce pigment concentrations. Another trade-off might be that far red can give you larger plants and larger leaves, which may or may not be a desirable attributes for the grower. So depending on the desirable attributes from the grower, we can develop different combinations of light recipes or different PPFD levels to promote growth in conjunction. Before I conclude, I would like to introduce you to our newly developed lab called CELL, which stands for Controlled Environment Lighting Laboratory, led and developed by my professor, Dr. Eric Ronco. Since its launch earlier this year, we have been conducting experiments to advance our understanding in photobiology and hydroponics. And the biggest feature of this lab was the LED systems developed by Osram, featuring six different independently controlled wave bands. And we are able to deliver a total of 24 treatments at any given time. So we'll be very excited to share you the results next year. And with that, I'd like to thank the funding agencies and individuals who provided support and funding for this project. Thank you very much, and I'd like to take any questions. That's a good question. So the question is the red to far red ratio the same for low and high light conditions? And the answer is no. We delivered the same amounts of far red in both PPFD categories, so the red to far red light ratios are different across all treatments.
Do you think that might have an impact?
Yes, indeed. The differences in the red to far red ratio would definitely play a role in explaining a lot of the observations. And in fact, if I plot the red to far red light ratio with leaf length, we can see a linear response. Yeah, thanks. Hey, Ricardo?
How was your EFS on your high light, high far red treatment?
High light, high far red treatment. So the question is, what's the PSS of the high light and high far red treatment? I don't have the data with me by hand, but I can tell you that later. That's a good question. So I said that far red could also drive photosynthesis, but how does that compare to red or blue light with the same amount? And that's actually the study conducted by Xu Yang and Dr. Barnerso. I heard their presentation last year. And I think if my memory serves me correctly, it was about 10 to 13% for far red additions. But I think it also depends on the ratio of blue and red light, and also the total amount of light delivered from red and blue light. So I'm not really exactly sure about the exact percentage of increase. Any other questions?